perspective that we are coming. We did have the question. I did have the question of how are we going to, or when are we going to have a price adjustment, if a price adjustment was coming. But it seems that with inflation and everything else happening in the market and everything, this is where the economy, that's where our tide has been leading. And I'm very glad to be able to see these numbers. As you can see, if we were to go back the previous years, that would hurt our budget because
We
we have
have been
to grow.
there
There
has
has
been
been
no
no
way
way
of,
of, you know,
saving
staying
money
behind in
on our
our expenses.
expenses.
Unfortunately,
Unfortunately,
because of inflation, all of our expenses have also been increasing. Now, this is just a comparison type to budget. I'm glad you guys are listening to the audio now. So we also have a tight budget comparison. So you're able to see here that we finished with a gain of 117. We did have other months that were keeping us behind. For example, the month of June, we had a loss of 20%, and
if they
some
want
of
to talk to us, is there?
the years that we were also recording some losses. So it was great to see that we were able to finish the 1.7%. I got a little ambitious at the end, and I said, God, can you give me 6 months?
Okay.
And I said, hey, why not? You know, why not ask 6 million? And he gave me 5.5. But he also reminded me that he had already given me 500,000. Because remember, we had reported that we did receive 500,000
I'm just going
each.
to tell him
So when I remember that, I said,
to
oh, okay, so you messed it up and said, hey, I did give you the 6 million. So thank God for that. You know, thank God because God also has a sense of humor. So I'm glad that he did, you know, he did give us the 6 million that we were waiting for. This is the tight comparison, 24-25. Last year we were at 37.1. And this year we finished with 37.5. So that is very good. Now I wanted to show you also how we have been performing since we're going to be getting rid of some of the. I wanted to create a summary so we could see how much we have been growing in our time. So starting 2020, we were at 32 million. And that was a very difficult year that we ended with a loss of 4.22%. But then on the following year, we had a gain of 12%, 10%, and 11%. So these years are the ones that, you know, these 3 years are the ones that are helping us increase our reserves. They are the ones that provided a cushion for the upcoming year. So it is a great time for 21, 22, 23 with in terms of our tithe. From there, praise God that we have also been able to maintain small increases in our tithe. So that means that there's continuation of growth. So overall, we've been able to receive in the last 5 years $220 million. Praise God for that, you know, amen. So that has resulted in an increase from our budget of 11.3, resulting in a gain of 5.42%. So this is amazing. We're going to see our investment account. And you know, even though we don't have as much as we didn't retain as much as we wanted to, we with this 11.3 gain that we had estimated, it has multiplied. Why? Because there's multiple debts that we have been able to pay. You know, we paid camp a loan that we had for ABC. We had another one for Camp Cedar Falls. We were able to have $1 million. We were able to pay an outstanding invoice that we had for years, that it was 900,000. We paid it off. We paid like $1 million to our churches that we have made promises throughout the years and we have not been able to pay. So, you know, this is the jar that keeps on giving oil. This is the never-ending oil supply. So we praise God for these blessings that we have been able to see. We're going to take a motion. I would take a motion, or I would take questions first. Anyone has any questions regarding our tithe?
Was there any windfall tithe that was any one specific big gift that you could identify?
Not that we could identify, but during those 3 years, we did hear a lot of people giving tithe or even giving the full amount of their PPP loan, of their stimulus check. We also heard a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, were passing away during that time. So a lot of trust, a lot of properties that were being sold and gifted, you know, and tithing that amount. So it was not something that we could identify. It was just something that the whole that we were seeing. If no other question, I would take a motion to accept the tithe. All right, any second? Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, any other comment or opposers? All right. It's moved and seconded. So we're going to go to our next section. We are going to go to our accounts receivable. And that's for us to be helpful.
All right, you guys all have the handout. Okay.
Kathleen, I'm going to log you back in.
Can you help me real quick? Can you go to the website and then pull up the AR report off of the website? For some reason on mine, it doesn't. Oh, okay, Jeff. So when I plug it in, it doesn't it just shows my home screen for some reason.
Can you mute it? Can you mute it? Can you mute it?
Okay, we were pending. Okay, I'll
hopefully we can get that result. So this is something that we held January 13th. Specifically, so these are the minutes that we also need to approve. I would take a motion for this. Thank you. Any second? Thank you. Any comments? No? All right. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? No, all right. It's carried. Exactly. All right. So let's go ahead and now we can go to our accounts receivables.
Okay. So sorry about the technical difficulties, guys. Okay. Awesome. So yeah, accounts receivable. I want to go over this really quick. I have a 4 points that I want to make. First of all, I'm very happy to show you guys that you can see right over here, this right here, -5%. So our overall AR went down by 5%. Great news. A lot of the reasons why this happened is because we've been working very closely with our region directors and establishing a process of escalation. And so what we would do is we would email out first, and then when we get no response or lack of response, then we go up to me, and then after that we go up to region directors. And region directors, you guys have been cracking the whip. You guys have been really it's made such a big impact, and you can kind of see it actually more on these numbers right here. So this green section and this purple section here, you can see a decrease of 36%. A decrease is a good thing, and a decrease of 26%. And I can honestly say that I do believe this has a lot to do with the region directors getting involved and making it very clear this is very important to the conference. Excuse me? Yeah, so sorry. So the 36%, this is for all the church ARs. Yeah. And the last one here, the 26%, is the payroll AR. We've had new processes that we put in place that have made a good impact on the AR. We have a new chief accountant that has also learned how to do this process very well. So that has helped out a lot too. So although we do have -5%, I don't want to deter from the fact that it has also, we have areas where we need to improve, right? So I want to point those out right now. So right here, we had an increase of 18%. And this is labeled right here as our customers' AR. So what is this customer made from? It's made from various things, but the significant ones are Camp Cedar Falls and ABC. So Camp Cedar Falls, we've had an increase of 13% of the for the AR. So it has increased from last year, 13%. ABC, 51%. We were going to hand out those books, but in the meantime, don't take my word for it, we are going to handle that a little bit later. But I have a list of all the churches that owe ABC money. So if region directors, if you could take a look at that for me, and in the same way that you guys did for the other AR, if you could kind of crack down on them as well, help us out a little bit. We don't actually have the ABC books on our books, all the details of it. We just kind of have the overall number. So that report will give you the actual details of what each church owes. So that's going to be an area where we're going to need help from our region directors to get the AR a little bit back on track. Camp Cedar Falls, as you guys know, there was some damage to the location. So that has affected AR. And then the next area I want to go over. Yeah, and also, you know, the staff hasn't really been fully staffed, I would say. So there's been that. And also on my part, I need to be better at getting those reports to our manager over there so that he can track down the missing AR. That's something that I have to work on, that I will do better at this year. But that is that's a good question. Next, the other significant area where AR has increased, you'll see here 31%, whereas everything else was a negative right here. And that is our schools. Our schools have been struggling, and we have also been struggling getting AR from them. So what does this 30% consist of? So it's mainly, so they have been really good at with teacher billing. So like paying for their actual salary of teachers, they have been very good at that. They have been timely on that. But the other kind of the things that are payroll related, but not necessarily you would call salary, are the ones where they're struggling with. So that includes retirement, healthcare, supplemental insurance, so that includes long-term disability, AD&D, supplemental life, and those kind of things, and HSA. The employees opt into that. And so they have been struggling with that. And we've noticed that for the academies that they have just not been paying. So in December, our answer to this, AR, our answer to this is we have been, instead of just billing them and kind of waiting for them to give permission for us to take money, we have been more of a of the mindset or more of the strategy of we're going to tell you how much we're pulling out, and it's up to you guys to either stop us, you know, tell us that you don't have the funds, or if there's no response, then we just go ahead and collect it. We started that in December of 2025, and that's been going on without really any hitch until now. But that has been our fix for this problem. Also, on top of that, we have hired a financial person in the education realm that's going to help us clean up this AR as well. That's part of her duties. Finally, I want to go over and with a little bit of a good note here. Property tax is not part of this presentation. So this is Fund 10, and Fund 10 is more of operations, and Fund 18 is more of the property side of it. So we're not presenting on that at this time. So the other major AR is, of course, our remittance. And so I wanted to show you guys that out of all of 2025, we only have 4,885 remaining to collect. That represents less than 1% of total AR for remittance. So this is great news. So you can see this little graph here. You can't even see the amount that that is still outstanding. Yes. As of today, we still don't have it. Yeah. Yeah.
All these numbers that I'm
No. So for remittance, it's specifically for today. But for all the other AR, it's as of December 31, 2025. Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to show you that our AR remittance is going very well. The only church that we have missing, we have been reaching out to them. Very diligently, but we just haven't been able to collect it yet. So that concludes my AR report. Any questions? If there's no other questions.
All right. Well, all right. It's moved and it's seconds. Any other comments regarding this that you would like to explore? If not, all those in favor say aye. Any opposed? All right, it's carried. Thank you, Nick. All right, let's continue with our report. It's 6:45, so you know we're moving along very well. We need to keep the rhythm flowing. Okay, now we're going to be getting into the difficult part. Now we're going to be entering in our financial statements. Happy New Year. Happy Chinese New Year. All right, we're going to go ahead and present our statement of financial position. This is how we perform. Sound is clear now. Great. Thank you so much. So this is how we ended the year 2025. We have not closed the year. We still have some items that are pending from our audit that we have not entered yet. So we're still waiting on some entries there. So we cannot close 2025 yet. But hopefully soon we're going to be able to close. The majority of our entries have been done already. So this is very accurate on how we ended 2025. So as we can see, we have a decrease in our cash section. We did have last year more cash available. Unfortunately, we've had some cash needs. So we've needed to request and withdraw some of the funds that we have our Morgan Stanley accounts. We do have another investment account. Our investment account, it keeps on growing. We'll talk a little bit about our investment accounts and what's the strategy that we have been following. Remittance receivable, you know, we do have a receivable higher because of our tithe gain that we had. We also are seeing an increase in our accounts receivables. To remind this committee that this amount has some amounts included that are pending to be cleared out. And one of them is the 2.5, right? 3.1. So that we still have pending on this amount. So that amount will come off of the receivable once we're able to make that entry. Inventory and prepaid expenses that we have, we're having a total assets of $50,127,000, which is a decrease over last year. And we also have our liability section that we have been seeing. We also have a liability here for 2.5 that we're pending to clear. It's still coming up on our financial statements and other amounts that we have pending. It comes up to total liabilities of 12 million versus last year that we had. I'm sorry, I didn't correct the year. It should be 24 and 25 actual. And we have our total net assets. So total liabilities and net assets are equal to our total assets. And we are in balance when it comes to our statement of financial position. Now, where it gets more difficult is on our financial statement, our statement of changes in net assets. We did have an increase in tithe, but there's some things that I want to mention that affected our changes in net assets. Our income performed well, but there are some items that did not. Two of the items that did not, yes, that's correct. Our net assets increased, so that is a great item to see in our financial statements. Now, as we are seeing our changes in net assets, like I was saying, some of the income that we did not receive is our Camp Cedar Falls. Our Camp Cedar Falls was not able to operate and had a loss of income. So we ended with a loss of $400,000. So that is impacting expenses incurred, income not received. So 400,000, you can see it on your financial statement. That is an item that affected our bottom line. Another item that affected our bottom line was ABC. Unfortunately, ABC ended up with a loss of 50,000. One of the things that I do have to mention on ABC is that they're paying two amounts that are, well, I would say three amounts that are the higher expenses that they have. First of all, they pay for their own general liability insurance. And because of that, all of our policies have been seeing an increase in general liability and overall all of the policies. So that is affecting the operation of the ABC. Another item that's affecting the ABC is that they also pay for a retirement amount, which is part of the old plan for retirement. So they also pay a portion of that amount. Another item that is also not helping them is that they are paying a rental fee to us for the space. Why are they paying a rental fee? The reason they're paying a rental fee is because years ago, the ABC took a loan to buy it back. Well, the conference took a loan on behalf of the ABC to buy it back from Pacific Press. This happened many years ago. I don't even remember how many. I was not here. So it must have been more than 10 years. So they bought it back from Pacific Press. And to buy it back, they opened a loan with the union and decided that the ABC was going to be responsible for that amount with its gains, basically. So a rental amount equivalent to a payment towards this loan was assessed to the ABC. We're still assessing that amount to the ABC, but the loan is no longer there. You know, praise God, we were able to pay off that loan. We don't have it anymore. So basically, that is income that should be coming back to the conference. But in reality, it's not happening because they're incurring with a loss. So at this point, we would not like to see us losing our ABC. We're only two ABCs in our union, correct? So we are almost the last one standing. There are some of them that are operating their ABCs only to fulfill quarterlies and monthly subscriptions and so on, but not a physical store anymore, which we have the ability of having a physical store. So what we would like to do is we would like to create some kind of rebranding for our ABC store. Something that will change the name. It would be kind of like a change of management so that we can revamp our ABC. The products are going to be the same, but the name of the ABC would be different. So this is an item that will be coming soon to our executive committee. And those are another item that is not helping our changes in net assets is that we paid a settlement last year. We paid some settlements for uninsured or not covered claims, that legal claims that we had. This is not the first time that we've had to pay an amount like that. And it's very unfortunate because it's costing us some funds. I would say that somewhere around 300,000. We have some settlements that we had to pay. In addition to those settlements, we also had to incur some legal fees. So the combination of all those items that came unexpected last year is what's affecting our bottom line. Now, I want to talk a little bit our expenses, because our expenses, I do recognize that are lower budgeted than the actual. What happened there? Why are we seeing that the amounts? Well, I already explained a portion of it, which is unexpected expenses. Another item that I evaluated analyzed is that normally I don't budget 100% for our employees. I'm always, having some kind of a cushion that we are going to have some vacancies in the field. Unfortunately, right now, all of our positions are pretty much filled. Last year, we had 120 FTEs and every position was taken, maybe like one or two, but we had an LA Metro that was fully staffed. We have a Hispanic region that is fully staffed. So all of these, you know, bigger regions that we have within the five, you know, it was unexpected. We also have pretty much 100% here at the office. Normally we have a vacancy, two vacancies here and there, and we'll spend some time trying to recruit someone. But unfortunately, when it comes to directors, we did had one position of a director that was vacant, but pretty much all the other ones were taken. So we're seeing all these items that are coming in as unexpected expenses. So when we finished the year, we ended up with a loss of around 1.2 million. Now, why are we seeing here a loss of 735,000? If you're going back to the previous conversation about the 500,000, we did receive those funds that were received at Western Adventist Foundation. It is income that came into our conference. It's just income that was placed in a different fund. So we made a decision of allocating that income into our financial statement because it is income that should be allocated as needed, basically. They're funds that are coming unrestricted. So that's why we allocated the income and we're seeing 735,000 as a loss this year. Now, another item that I want to mention about this, in the year 2023, was the conclusion or a five-year term before our constituency. So during those years, we presented a combined audited statement. And back in 2023, when they were auditing our information, it came to their attention that we had an open lawsuit. At that point, it was assessed that we needed to record an expense of 1.5 million. We did not know what was going to be the total amount, but it had to be expensed in our financial statements according to GAAP. So when the year 2024 happened, we were able to close that. We were able to close that. And when we discussed in executive committee and also I believe this committee, we discussed how entities are responsible according to the working policy, how every entity is responsible for their own financial obligations. So at that time, we transfer out that liability out of the conference and into the institution that was involved in this lawsuit. That amount has not been adjusted in our 2024. That is part of some of the audited entries that are missing. Now, the amount that is going to be increasing our net assets, it's 1.5. So why is this something that it's relevant? Because whereas we're here seeing a loss, we are going to be seeing our net assets increasing on the following meeting that we're going to be having. So it's going to compensate because last year we ended very much our bottom line was balanced. But now with this 1.5 that is coming in, we're going to be ending with a gain that basically is going to be carried over for this year. So even though, you know, we do see 735, unfortunately, it is something that it's something that we did not start spending on things that we didn't need. It was just that we came a year that we had higher expenses than expected. Camp Cedar Falls. Camp Cedar Falls, we did end the year with a around 400,000 debt loss, but that was due to the loss of income of not being able to operate. But in the meantime, God did take care of us. God did support us because now we have a new road. Now we are able to have our plumbing system, our water system up and running. So it was minimum the expense that we incurred, and that was due to the blessing of God because he just provided the right people for the right time. Camp Cedar Falls, we're trying to reopen. We already have groups that have scheduled, and they just call us in that they want to come back. But we are planning on having a work bee. That is something that is in the plans. We still don't have, we have not finalized the details, but we do know that we want to take people that would are willing to help us. People that are willing to help us at, over at Camp Cedar Falls, clean out, you know, so that we can start seeing what is needed. It doesn't mean that we're going to have people up in the roof or, you know, changing heavy things. We don't want that. We don't want anyone getting hurt. But we want to make sure that that are, you know, cleaning, for example, that's something that we can all help with. So we can do some cleaning. We can do some leaves, picking up some leaves, maybe some light painting, you know, some of the things that we can take care of. So that is something that we're going to be taking care of. Any questions about this? Oh, yes. Go ahead, Steve.
Of the lot can be attributed to the one-time cost and the portion of the 1.5.
So the 1.5, that was an expense that was incurred, but will be reversed. So we're going to be able to reverse. If I'm understanding correctly, now how much of the loss can be contributed? Well, we had a loss of 400,000. We had a loss of income. Of 400,000, and the settlement was around 300,000. In addition to that, we also had an increase in our master policy. That was also unexpected. We did had an increase in our master policy for 400, higher than expected. The overall bill had an increase of 46%. Half of it was expense in 1 year, and half of it in the following. But this is something that is going to be hitting our churches very soon, and our ARs might be affected this year because this is something that it's going to be very difficult for our churches. Did I answer your question, Steve?
What you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much.
I don't want to speak about institutions, but ARM is struggling, and we're struggling because of it. The past great loss down the chain. We are not the only conference that's feeling this pain. I know a conference that was increased 91% in their master plan. We got 49%. Can you imagine what are you going to do? How are we going to balance our budget? We brought this up to NAD president a few weeks ago with the president meeting, saying we've got to address this issue. It cannot go unaddressed. There are conferences struggling worse than we are, even though our struggling used to be worse than it is today. I'm thankful for the relief we have, for the good treasury work, the carefulness that's being done. But we're praying about this. I'm tongue in cheek, but it's still true. But ARM could not come through for us at Camp Cedar Falls. And we're still going to pursue this. We haven't got a dime when he lost it yet. Camp Cedar Falls, and we did die once. When ARM hasn't come through, the ARM of the Lord came through. Mm-hmm. So with these companies that said, hey, we'll step in. And we'll do this road because we need this road as bad as you do it. So we'll do it free of charge. Mm. And the road's better than it was before. Mm. And then when they found out our insurance hasn't covered anything at the water, they said, we'll do all the work. All you have to do is get whatever pipes or anything that you need. Mm. And we found out the pipes were not totally damage, and we just had, they got in there, they hooked it up for us, and all they have to do is do some welding to get the sand trap put on there. But we got the water tested and usable, and they're working on the sand trap. So they said, we'll bring our welder and weld it for you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can imagine, you're talking about $1 million worth of work they basically did for us.
Amen.
That's the arm of the Lord, folks.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen.
Thank you. So this is what we have for our financial statement. This is how we ended the year. Like I said, it's going to be challenging this coming year. I had already mentioned some of the pending items that we have. We are going to be able to retain additional tithe amount, which is going to help us for 2026. This is something that is going to be, it's going to help us retain additional funds here at the conference. It's interesting that now it doesn't want to present. Okay. So yes, it's great news that we're having a 3% retaining our conference. That is going to be equivalent to somewhere around keeping $1 million somewhere around there. Yeah, depends on how much tithe we receive this year. Some of the challenges that we're facing, we have an increase in healthcare for $600,000. That is a significant increase in our healthcare. Also, insurance premiums. We are also seeing, we know we just mentioned the 46% that hit us with a master policy. We also have an increase in salaries, 2.7%. Now, something that unfortunately, you know, our employees are experiencing is that, yes, we're going to be seeing a 2.7% in July. But this year, it's an adjustment year when it comes to payroll. We get paid every 2 weeks. So every 10 years, there's an adjustment of weeks. So this year, we have, instead of 26 pay periods, we have 27 pay periods. So it's the same salary, but stretched out in 27 instead of 26. So a lot of all of us, we're seeing decreases in our biweekly pay. So unfortunately, there's nothing much we could do, but we are going to see that increase of 2.7 in July. So when it's going to actually hit, or it's going to be significant to the employee, this 2.7 is going to be January of 2027, because that's when they're going to see the adjustment going back to 26 instead of 27. So in 2027, they're going to see a bump in January and in July. So, you know, unfortunately, it'll be a tight year for all of us, but then we're going to be able to recover in 2027. So if you're planning to buy a car, don't do it this year. You know, wait until the next one, and then you're going to have the space. Lawsuits that we have open, we still have lawsuits that are open. Unfortunately, one of the lawsuits that we have open, there's a lien against one of our properties. That is around 1.6 that we have open. That is also threatening this year's expenses. We are hopeful that we can resolve the situation, but it is something that it's hurting us at the moment to have that lawsuit open. We also have another lawsuit that's open that we don't have a settlement amount yet, but it could be also a high value claim. So those are the things that right now are threatening our 2026. Closure of Camp Cedar Falls. Well, we're slowly trying to bring back Camp Cedar Falls. We're slowly trying the 25 Vision Committee. You know, we have a new youth director, and he has a great set of skills and experience in the area of camp and youth. So we're working along with him to be able to prepare something that churches will be interested in coming back. The whole purpose of coming opening Camp Cedar Falls is to be able to serve our conference. That is the only purpose of why we have a camp. So we want to make sure that our churches are utilizing this space. And ABC, we continue seeing, you know, a loss in the ABC. So we're going to be able to further assess how are we going to be seeing the year 2026. So these are some items, and I would like us to vote this section of the financial statement before we move on to the next item.
Regarding the ABC, have we considered charging them up? Something we have,
yeah,
presented here, or?
Yes, it can be presented in this body. Because yes, we are assessing a monthly rent. I believe it's somewhere around $2,000 a month. We do treat them as renters. We are the ones that are paying the facility, basically maintenance and everything else. We take care of that, but we do assess an amount to the ABC.
So by the money we collect from them, we give maintenance to the property?
Not quite. It's not quite the exchange, because this year, unfortunately, you know, it seems that when something breaks, everything breaks. And all of our properties that we have, Parsonage and everything, they're having plumbing issues, you know, roots growing in the plumbing. And this type of, you know, services, they're somewhere around 40,000, because they have to dig in, replace the whole thing and go back. So unfortunately for the ABC, we had some plumbing issues last year. And this year we also had another one. So, you know, we're spending quite some time when it comes to the ABC.
The money that we collect from realize to try to be, so that money's not like something extra we get. It's just money that's being.
Yes, but because we're not presenting any gains, basically it's not a true, you know, it's not a true transfer. And the amount that they paid last year, it was $26,760.
Our landlord expenses are much greater than the rent we're getting.
Yes.
And, you know, we share the building. Our student is in that same building. Yeah. So we do share the building. And it doesn't have different taxes. So we share that building. But obviously they're using it much more than we do because they use it. Only a studio sometimes. So, but we see it as a benefit. The reality is, we don't operate as a business. We operate as a business. That'd be a totally different model.
Yeah.
We'd have to pay higher taxes. We'd have to get out of 5.3C. Yeah. We'd have to open it up and do advertising in our community. We're just operating as a ministry to our people, those who pay with some health food stuff. So, you know, it's low. We advertising stuff because there was no advertising paper. You know, we do some on flying to our churches and stuff. But it's really a low price there. It's really a ministry to our members, and other people will come by. But it's not, it's an internal ministry. And it's used a lot, but just hasn't been used enough to make money. It's a toss of what to do. We thought we'd go one more month, I won't go a year at least before we make we try the hurricane we had a couple of years ago blew the sign out. So you might drive by and say there's no sign. You're right, there's no sign. So we it used to be called veggie food stuff. I don't know. It wasn't even it was
Christian veggie.
Christian veggie. I think we could have called it Christian veggie dog. But yeah, I thought it was, so we're going to rebrand it with a different name and put a new sign there. We're going to try to, if the committee accepts this proposal, by rebranding, maybe draw a few more people to bring up the visibility to drive by and see if we can make up some of these losses and more sales.
Have we ever tried to be online store?
You know, on the online store, you compete with Pacific Press or a lot of other places that online. The truth is, even on veggies, much of the Loma Linda projects or Worthington projects, you can go down to a supermarket or somebody and buy the food. You know, but you can't go in one place like there. And this is a convenience. But no, we haven't tried really anything they order online. You could go to Pacific Press with books or places like that, Amazon, if it's books that are in the store. You know, online and brick and mortar, that's a battle.
Yeah. And we used to be at Pacific Press online, because they do have a website that's connected to all the ABCs. The problem that we were having is that we were being forced to give discounts and we were losing money and shipping was very expensive. And a lot of the times they would offer free shipping, but guess what? We were the ones that were paying for the shipping. So it didn't make too much sense for us. And we said, we need to get out of this. We have not explored doing it on our own because we don't have the infrastructure for us or the funds to allocate for that. But yeah, like Elder says, Chris was saying, you know, it's a difficult market when it comes to books.
Now, the good news for us is that our territory is small.
Yeah.
You know, there are people that are quite a ways away up in the high desert, way out in the river and stuff. But overall, if you look at other conferences, we have a small footprint. And so we can serve a lot of our from that ABC if we continue to do it, we want to do it. Because it's got a broad, you know, anybody can, easy, you know, on the side of five, it's very easy. Come up here. It's a little harder if you're down in the South City, but when you come up for it, you'll squeeze and you can stop by. But we think we can continue to serve it as much as we can if we want to do that.
And maybe, Justin, maybe have the communication department run a video, something that we could share in our churches.
Sure.
Because we have many members that, you know, usually new families, they don't have an idea that we have a bookstore, a veggie or a health store. So if every church, you know, we promote or we have a video professionally about the services and what we have, the books and the children ministry books that they have, that's something that we could, the communication department could put together and share it with us. And we have time during our announcements to share the video and, you know, support our bookstore.
Sure, we can do that.
The other way that we can support, we expand when we go into Pacific Creek to buy books. They have some books there that we can use for evangelism.
Yes.
And we can buy it for us.
Yes.
And we can use the money in time.
Correct.
And I believe if we are planning to do evangelism, we have to consider part of the budget, of our budget, to consider to buy those books there and try to keep it up, ensure a healthy understanding.
Sure. That's great.
What's the customer base? Is it just...
Oh, mainly our churches.
So this church. Okay. So it's only crap.
I would say...
Let's be honest, it's not
profiting making, or yeah.
You're not gonna make money. So
exactly.
If it's just to maintain our churches, that's one of us to have clarity on.
Right. That's what I was saying. We don't have a business model.
Not a business model. Okay. There's no studies that's been done that sort of do a demographic study or what products do people really want. This is just to supply the local church. Is that
mostly the local church? We've had an influencer or a vegan influencer on who's online, find the store, advertise it. Yeah. Look what I found.
Yeah.
All this. So we do have regular customers that are vegan, vegetarian, it's a popular thing. But to go to that model of a business model, we'd have to do what the Potomac Conference does.
Yeah.
And we need a store at a location, like in a strip mall.
Yeah.
You need to advertise. And you need to make it larger footprint. You have to bring in all kinds of food products, including bulk foods, because a lot of people look for bulk foods.
Yeah.
And you'd have to go with books of different authors and stuff, not just Agnes authors. We do have a few of them. So they're the model we can go with, but that's a significant investment to get there.
Understood. You mentioned earlier that if you wanted to go just to the model of, you know, being a space where people get, you know, their quarterlies and so on, we could certainly do that. Just trying to understand, like, I know for me, so I, admittedly, so as a millennial, so I only go to the conference when I come. I mean, I only go to the ABC when I come to the conference. And I remember it's there, and I go. And I was there a couple of times, and honestly, I'll be honest with you, man, I don't know if this is, I look at Bibles, and I order Bibles, but I always look at the cost there, and I'm like, there's no way. There was one Bible for like $20 more, and I got it on Amazon for $20 less. And I'm just like, I want to be a good steward, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I'm going to order online. And none of my Gen Z or millennials are, you know, and so maybe they're going to, maybe the ABC is going to be beneficial to other churches. I would love to see the number. Like, what does that really look like? And what numbers for you as CFO would make you go, okay, this is worth keeping, you know, even if it's just for our churches? I just kind of want to, I would love to see the metrics and kind of be honest with that and be like, let's make an honest decision. I know for a lot of people it's nostalgia. That's fine, I reckon. But I want us to, I feel like we need to be good stewards of that. And so what really is the ABC for?
This first year we've actually lost a significant amount. We lost a few $1,000s here. And that's why we've hesitated. Then, is this the time to end it?
Yeah.
Or should we let a year go, try to rebrand it? This is the first year we've had a loss like this.
Okay.
Yeah, because like you said, you know, our main purpose is to exist for our churches, you know, to provide material that's needed for our churches, quarterlies, Christian material. So that is why we exist. And, you know, yeah, when you come to pricing on Amazon, you can't compete with Amazon. Yeah. That's just not possible. But hey, people still go to Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
Right. You
yeah,
know,
right
after, they still go to Barnes and Noble. Jones.
What? Huh?
Jones.
That high end food store. Mm-hmm. It's building right now.
Air One.
Air One. They're building an Air One. Right across the
street. Yeah.
It's a business market, but we're not trying to compete. And if we need to close it, we will.
That's all. I mean, as long as we have clarity on what it is for. And
we can't continue to $6,000 a year or more.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are gonna be reducing the hour of operations. We still haven't settled on how will that look like, because we do see that, you know, we're open very, very much 6 days a week. And there are some days that people don't come as often, you know. Sunday is a very heavy day. Friday is a very heavy day. So we've been analyzing the sale patterns and everything. So instead of opening at, you know, at 9 a.m., maybe some days we're going to open until 11 and so on. So we're still trying to come up with something that would help reduce the cost to continue operating our ABC.
I would say, if I could add, I'm not an expert in retail, but the storefront model is being greatly challenged, like globally, by Amazon and other online vendors. Online retail has been around for a few decades, and it has also challenged traditional storefronts. But now more so with Amazon and other vendors, the immediacy of getting something shipped, you know, almost as the same day it's hard to beat. You can argue that one of the biggest advantages of Amazon is just how quickly you can get something ordered. However, there are still large segments of our population, in particular in our churches, of people who do not online shop. Like I'm not one of them. There are people who still purchase things with check. And we know this because many of our members still contribute through check, despite all of the amazing ease of ways that, you know, that we have made it possible for people to contribute. It's been years since I've written a check, but I know that there's people who would not shop without a check because it's just the way that they keep track, right? So there's different practices. No question, I would say that to a church member that's not within 30 to 40 minutes away from this ABC is not going to be a practical choice for them. But I would also say that there is a large concentration of our churches and church members within a 20 to 30 mile radius of this ABC. So maybe for them, it's very useful. Maybe for church leaders, ministry leaders who want to go into a storefront and sample and visibly check out, like children's ministry product, right? You know, devotional, like there are some people who just want to be able to handle something before they actually purchase it. Online doesn't give you that. So there are certain customers who have been benefiting greatly from it. No question, is there a way to improve it? Yes, we ought to always see, are there better ways to market it? Absolutely, as every retailer is being challenged and being pushed in a new direction, I think we need to be considering new possibilities of marketing and promoting. And if we do get to a point where, wow, this is now costing us more, do a cost-benefit analysis, absolutely, we should be open to say, wow, maybe we're not meeting the need and it's not proportional to the benefit that we're getting. We'll make that decision then.
So yeah, thank you very much. We'll keep on having this conversation in our upcoming budget and finance, so we can finalize something and move forward with our ABC.
So what are we voting on?
We're voting right now, going back to our financial statement. We just review our financial statements, and that is the portion that we're going to be voting on. Any seconds? All right. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? All right, it's carried. We're going to go to another item. This is an update on a loan that we voted on our last meeting. This loan was for $900,000. The church had on hand for the total project $700,000. So they were trying to see if they could buy the property next door. But Pastor Granados, why don't you tell us what happened?
So we presented an offer to the neighbor, the next door neighbor, $1.6 million. The initial purchase was 2.1. So the board said, you know, if they accept the offer, we'll move on with the purchase. But if they do not accept the offer, then we're not going to continue to pursue with a higher price. So they did not accept the offer. They said the minimum amount they would accept is 1.9. And the board and the administrative church meeting said, we will not move to 1.9. So we were, that was the under, after they we had the answer from them, I spoke with them and they said, okay, well, we already have plans to build a second floor building. There's no parking. It's one property almost, but they're figuring to build a second floor, which is kind of crazy, but we're just going to let them do whatever they want because we have, I think, other priorities. So at this point, we have presented an option of reducing that loan amount because now we have very serious problems with our roof and our gym. So instead of continuing pursuing with the 900, that we are thinking that the board has decided to go with 350, so we can, you know, it's pouring inside the gym. So that's something that we cannot allow that to continue. So I think the Lord has spoken. So we're gonna stop with pursuing the purchase, and now we're redirecting towards the gym, which is if we continue allow that rain or that water to sink into to the roof, it's going to be a more major, you know, investment. So at this point, I spoke with our maintenance person that we have at church, and the board has decided to present a modification or a change to, instead of the 900, do a 350 loan in order to put that gym up to date roof. And we're going to be working on interior, they're fixing their restrooms and kitchen and just having that room, the whole gym, you know, without any liability problems, because right now it's we don't allow people go into the gym because the liability nowadays is crazy. So just don't go in. But I have to fix it. That's why we're now presented this change.
Yeah. So this is an update. You know, they had been approved for 900, so now they're reducing the amount. But there's some things on this project that still need to be evaluated. So what I would request from this committee is if we could vote this item and approve myself and the officers to finalize the details, you know, because we still need to review the contractors and others. It could be that this also would be able to go to asset management. But right now, we don't have the full scope of the work and, you know, total cost. And still, there are things that we need to work out. So I would like to propose if this committee would see fit on making this this a motion.
So you were asking for an enabling action to work out the details.
To finalize, exactly. Because right now, you know, I want this process to move forward, and our next budget and finance is going to be in a couple of months. So if we're able to settle, you know, from here onto the next budget and finance, that we can move forward with this project. So I see Keith, it's moving. Any second?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah, do a second.
But I believe you're an invitee.
Yeah, sorry, he's inviting.
I'm sorry.
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bori. My...
So it's been moved and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The wording of it is to
give the officers team an enabling act to finalize the details of this loan. Correct.
With
asset management. Correct. Now, so did one second, did we see everyone aye? Right?
Yeah,
we did. Right? Yes, okay. All right. Now, in addition to this, you know, this is not part of the vote, but we're also going to be working out the details with the union so we can let them know what the update on this loan and what's going to be the scope of the work. So we're basically going to have to resubmit the application. To update the information now according to this project.
I haven't signed it yet, so but you encourage me to still sign it, right? Sign the loan.
The old one.
Don't need to sign the old one.
We'll do an update.
Okay, so it's just
yeah. So we'll do an update on that. Yes, it would be part of our minutes. Not as an item itself, it would just be part of our minutes. No. Correct. And they had already been approved for 900,000, but because they're moving the project, then we need to submit a new application and work out the details. All right. So it's been moved and second. All right. And we already voted for this item. One investment accounts.
Keith had a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Will the interest rate likely be the same as the additional rate for 900,000?
Yes. We do have a flat rate, correct, Steve?
Yeah, it could be in lower if it's at 5% in the income fund versus the school loan fund. So it just depends on the characteristics of the project.
So yes, thank you for asking that question. All right, so we're gonna now look at the investment accounts. So our investment account, this is, we're just gonna overview how they're performing. The operating reserve, how we have structured our accounts is that we have three in our portfolio, we have three accounts in different entities. And we've stacked them in layers. Immediate needs has been Morgan Stanley, and we are already utilizing the majority of that cash. We're going to see in a second the balance is, it's now, you know, decreasing, it has been decreasing over time, but that is what the intention was, that we were able to have some funds available for immediate cash needs. The second layer is Western Adventist Foundation. We also have funds available there. This is an entity where we receive the majority of our trusts that are unrestricted. They come through Western Adventist and we keep them there so they can keep on growing some interest. The last item, that the last entity that we have is with the Pacific Union. This account, it should be our last resource. Why? Because this one is the one that has a high balance, and we want to make sure that we don't destabilize the account too often. You know, we don't want to be withdrawing funds that are not necessary. So this is basically our main reserve, if you could call it. So as you can see, it has been growing. I didn't include it back in 2019, which we had a balance of 400,000 in this account. But starting in 21, we had a 2.4, and then in 22, we were able to increase that amount to 6.5. And current date, we currently, for December of 2025, we ended with $7.7 million. Mm-hmm. So praise God. Mm-hmm. Praise God for this, because the gaining tide that we were seeing over the years, this is one of the items that we were able to allocate some cash. The other place that we have, this is our Morgan Stanley. This is the one that we've been having some funds available and we've needed cash. So right now it sits at around 1.1 as of January, because we did have some stock donations that came in December that were high value donations. So I would say that in January that dropped all the way to 1.1. But this, we're also seeing great increases. We're not opening a CD or anything because, like I mentioned, we do have some pending lawsuits, and we want to make sure that for our immediate expenses, we have cash available. So we have been keeping this as liquid as possible. The third section that we have, it's for Western Adventist Foundation holding account. These are trusts that have been matured and have come unrestricted. So as you can see, even though we've utilized some of these funds for 2024, we had 2.6, and current year of 2025, we have 3.3. So praise God for this, because we should be down to 2 million, but because we have been receiving donations through this account or mature trust, we have been able to stay on target and keep on increasing this account. Now, another thing that I want to say, this 3.3 million that we're seeing, it's not part of our operating. What does that mean? That means that it's not contributed in our operating working capital. So our working capital has been decreasing. Unfortunately, we were very close to the 3 months, but this last year we dropped all the way to 1.7. But this account, it's not being part of that calculation. So we still have to consider that we do have this account available, the 3.3. So total investment accounts that we have available, it's around 12 million. So that's a significant amount of funds. It's not what we need, because we do have $50 million expenses. This is an organization that incurs around 50, 51 million. So in terms of that, 12 million is not significant, but praise God that we have that 12 million, because we were in a very dire situation years ago. And right now we get to breathe and we get to say we have something available. So praise God for that. Now we're going to get to the last item of our meeting tonight. And that is, how are we preparing for 2020? I'm sorry. Let's take a vote on the investment accounts, on the presentation of the investment accounts. Anyone would like to move this?
So moved.
Any second? All right. Thank you. It's been moving second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? All right. It's carried. Okay. Let's go back to our budget assumptions for 2026. Our budget assumptions for 2026, I am missing one. Okay. Give me a second. Okay. Okay, so how did we build the budget for 2026? You know, I have nightmares about this. And, you know, I don't get rid of them throughout the year. It's like this is always in the back of my head, and it's quite something. But I've learned to say, you know, God, this belongs to you. You know, I can disappear from the face of the world any moment, and you're still going to continue this ministry. So why should I be worried about? But it's hard for me to let go. How we have been building the budget is we have been taking the average of the last 3 years. I think it's still very conservative, even though it is 98%. It is still very conservative taking the 3 years. Now, with these 3 years, we have walked away from the 39 million that was pushing our tithe up, and we're still continuing to grow. So it's great to see that that our tithe is being performing around that area. So this year I budgeted with 37.1, considering that we are going to have that additional retention of tithe. So it's 37.1 our budget amount, which is 98% of the previous 3 year average. I did have to budget with 100% of the positions being taken, which is going to be challenging. So I hope we have some transfers out soon. So.
The 100% of the does not. I know what the increase that we have in some areas is taken, but you did not include 90% of a 3 year. Does not include the 3%. You're including the 3% this year that come back to us, but you're not including it. 98%. Right?
Correct. Yes. This is actual growth. Correct. This is gross tithe.
Right.
And where it comes in is that our expenses are going to decrease. Right. So.
But the 3% tithe are coming back to us this year. Or I should say come back. We don't have to.
That we don't have to spend up.
Yeah. Continue to keep.
Yes.
That 3% is not part of the calculation at this point.
No. Correct.
Thank you.
Correct.
That's important because that gives us the cushion.
Correct.
Even at 98%.
Correct.
For these other things.
Yes. Yeah. Correct. So this is where it comes to personnel. You do have. We're going to go through some of the assumptions, like how was it built and what are some considerations in our budget. We still have 120 pastors. As you can see, we were at 118, and we've been able to maintain 120. I don't see how we can have space to keep on growing, but right now we're set at 120. We still have 64 teachers. That has been for a long time now. We have not decreased that. And the office, we did added some partial positions. And right now we're currently at 46.83%. FTEs. So we did added some positions. Most of the positions are taken. And that has been a consideration. When it comes to salary, we do have a salary increase in the month of July. Our remuneration factor is going to go from 5,690 to 5,844, which is 2.7% of an increase. We are not able to increase the cost of living. It'll have to remain flat. We have not been able to have an increase since the last time we did it in 2024. So we hope that this year will give us the space that we need to find some cushion there and be able to grow in 2027. So I don't know. It seems a lot of promises for 27. So don't quote me on any of these things. But it seems that 2027 could be very promising. So these are some of the considerations when it comes to salary. Education, we are having an increase in our education. Yes, go ahead.
Backing up, sure. As a new member, I'm not familiar
remuneration factor.
Oh,
can you
sure.
explain what that is?
Sure. So as denominational employees, we're all pay on scale. All the employees were under the same scale. That scale has percentages. So for example, a pastor will begin its ministry at 80% of the scale, and it goes all the way to 102. Once it reaches ordination and years of experience, it can achieve up to 102%. So in addition to that percentage, there's a base amount, which is this. This provides the base calculation for those percentages to be applied to. Now, these are on a monthly basis. We are on a biweekly. So we do have a table where we calculate each one of the percentages that our employees would be receiving according to their position and so on. Let me pull that report up so we can briefly see it. Okay, so for example, this is the table that we prepare for this year. As you can see, these are the years of experience of a pastor that a pastor could have and then keep on increasing in percentage throughout the years. So this is what we utilize. Everyone else that it's not a pastor, we do have a remuneration book of percentages, and every position will be assigned a percentage. So when it comes to salary, we have very small room on negotiating a salary because they're pretty much set based on year six experience. There is a range in each category, but basically there's a cap on each one of the positions. So yeah, any other questions? All right, let's go ahead and move forward with the next item. So now you know how much we make. Don't memorize the amount. So when it comes to education, teacher billing, we do have several increases in healthcare and other items, but I try to not. Last year they received like an additional 10%, somewhere around 10%, and this year I'm increasing 5%. Some of the considerations that I take is what was the total cost of added benefits such as retirement, moving, teacher enhancement, and some other items. So I pull them together and kind of evaluate. We have been generous to our schools that if they pay on time, they get a 10% discount. So when it comes to absorbing the total cost of a teacher, schools are basically picking up somewhere around 70%, but that percentage decreases when it comes to if they pay on time. And right now we have all of our schools paying on time because they're on ACH. So it's very rare that a school will fall behind. That has been very helpful. So we have, I have put together a way of increasing only 5% for the schools. We're not able to increase the subsidies that have been allocated for our academy and our boarding school. We are very much at a rate that it's high enough. And we can't continue allocating additional funds. So since the school year 2024-25, we came to a halt and we have not been able to keep on increasing. When it comes to healthcare, this is our healthcare. This is where our increases are going to be coming from. The employer side, we raised from 770 to 816. And the employee portion, we increased that to 92.12%. So that way we can see some increase in, because the cost of healthcare is very high right now. Unfortunately, we are a very expensive group, and hopefully we can, you know, become healthier. But that is a reality, and the overall, healthcare has been increasing everywhere. When it comes to employee expense, in the total cost of an employee, we're allocating somewhere around 9% to cover healthcare benefits out of their 100% pay or 100% cost. Travel budget this year, we're having a travel budget of 0.725. That's a great news that we're not going to be able to see it that much, but it's going to be there, 0.725. This is going back to the conversation we were having about the retirement plan. This is where we're going to be able to retain additional funds. We do have a 3% retention. It's not money that it's coming back to us, it's money that we don't have to send up. So we're able to retain a portion of that in our conference. This is the distribution of retirement, the retirement DC plan. I'm sorry, this one is the healthcare distribution and retirement funds. But it's 5.4 and the 3% with a total of 8.4. This is just the breakdown of the 8.4. Appropriations. There's no change in appropriations.
Actually, I think that one's still phase three. That's the DC plan.
Oh, yeah, correct. I'm sorry. This is the other one. That's why it's that's why it says employer and employee. These are the amounts that needs to be affected. The label is correct. Yeah, thank you very much. So this one should be 8 and 3%. This one is the one that did not get affected by the change. And this is just the basic and the match that we contribute to each one of our employees. Appropriations to SEC, they remain the same. We're still, oh, I'm sorry, I missed one. Appropriations coming back. So this is money that it's coming back. This comes back from the NAD and also from the union apportion. So this is calculated based on a 2024 tithe, and that's why we were able to see a decrease because we receive a 39 million. So when we receive that 39 million, it affected the appropriations basically because they're based on tithe. So now for 2026, we're going to see a decrease in those appropriations coming back for 2,026 45,000. Appropriations to the union. I just want to say that, this 9% that we allocate to the union, it goes a long way. Our union works with us in many projects, funds a lot of our evangelism projects, and supports many of our projects. One of the initiatives that they had was Sharing Jesus, and they allocated 200,000 for this conference. So I want to say thank you. Thank you to the union for supporting our ministry.
I'll take you back on that. I'll be here. But
that doesn't hurt. But I've been in 4 years. This is the best union I've been in. Because the union has not forgotten that they're the highest, the way the Adventist Church is supposed to be operating, that the highest level of the local work. The union. That's why they were created in the first place, the 1950 reorganization. They reorganized because the DC could not see the needs of the West Coast. And so they said, we need unions closer to the work. Organizing a union is supposed to be the highest level of the local work. This union has not forgotten that they have initiatives to help the conferences. At the in their area, I don't know how to say that enough. I mean, I've been in, like I said, four unions, and I won't mention the ones I was in. That one of them totally thought the union existed for the North American division. The president thought he was the vice president of the NAD president. It's not that way, not at all. So I do want to say that and say it as often as I can. We're in a great union.
So yeah, it's amazing that we get support as much as we do from our union in many ways in our ministry. We also allocate some funds to DC that has not been moved. We do receive appropriations that are coming back as well from the NAD back to us, and that's part of the 2 million, a portion of the 2 million. It's a combination of both the union and NAD sending back. We are not allocating funds from this, even though we have not used from our reserve, but we have not been budgeting from trust services. Another item that I do want to mention is we are also actively making some reductions here in the office as much as we can. We have not hired someone from the switchboard. And I have to say that, you know, I want to thank our assistants, and my assistant is here. So thank you very much, Maisha, because she's phenomenal. She does a great job. But you know, all of our assistants are helping us with the switchboard, and that has helped us to maintain one position down from our total. Another item that I want to mention is we are assessing traveling to as needed, you know, appointments. Sometimes they are very valuable trips that we have to take and receive information, but there's some others that maybe we could restructure and find other ways of receiving the information. And we've presented this to the office today, and we're going to be actively pursuing this. How can we reduce some of the cost when it comes to traveling? Another area that we're going to be reducing is budgets to our regions. We have 9 departments in the office that we're receiving 50,000. Now, this 50,000 used to be 20,000, but we've increased all the way to 50,000. But this year, I believe that we needed the space for that. So we try to reduce 10,000 from each one of those departments. Yes.
But you're not reducing evangelism.
Correct. Correct. We still have funds for evangelism scholarships and some other funds. But when it comes to the regions and the other departments, we have 9 departments in total that receive education, the youth, senior youth, and the five regions and children ministry. Those are the total of our 9 departments. So by reducing 10,000, we're saving 90,000 there, which is significant. And another item that we have been trying to do is I see unrestricted funds as, you know, free money or money that is floating out there, and you never know when it's going to be spent. So I've been trying to reduce those amounts so that way we can allocate only from our reserve or for money that we have actually available, increase anyone that needs additional funds. But we're going to start tracking a little bit tighter our budgets for this year in each one of the departments. So we're actively looking on ways on how can we take control of our budget and stay on track. So yes, go ahead.
Just a quick question. This is going to be discussed already, but I've been hearing, like, for example, sit on the MPA board, Newberry Academy. I'm hearing I've been told that the conference is possibly taking over business manager roles of academies. Is that, and does that help cut costs as well? Am I hearing that correctly?
So I can tell you a portion of that. We have been trying to centralize several of our operations. The first action that we took was to bring on all elementary teachers into conference payroll. That was the first layer. The second layer was we absorb payroll for all of our academies. Currently, from our office, we handle all of the payroll for all of their academies. The other layer that we needed is someone in education that is overseeing the financial umbrella. We're still trying to structure that position because it is a new position, but the intention is heading towards centralizing. When is that going to happen? I've had this conversation with some of our schools. I don't know when it's going to happen or what's going to be the shape or form of that. But yes, there is an idea of centralizing accounting for our academies. Any other questions? This is how our budget is being structured for the year 2026. And this would be the last item that we would just need to approve, and then we're free to go. So we can keep the conversation, or if anyone else has another other question, we can go through any other question that might be out there.
Just a quick question: the healthcare. Yeah. What about the families? How does that get budgeted? Wives and so
forth. Yeah. So we have. They do give us a number of units. They give us a number of units. We have capped our contribution for the employee at 3 units. So if an employee has 3 children, they still pay 1 unit. So we don't have, too many families in that situation, but even a family of 2, we're paying for everyone and charging only 3 units instead of 4. So yes, that is part of our calculation when it comes to housing. Yes.
Yeah, regarding school subsidy.
Yes.
There are risks floating around that the subsidy is 10%. Is that correct? 10% of right?
So that is managed through the schools. And I do know that the Department of Education has been working on this item. Because it is something that unfortunately, we don't have a good structure currently. So we are trying to assess how can we revamp. A study has been made already, but now we need to find a way of, placing into action some of the items. So it's contingent to the school and the Department of Education, basically. Yeah. So any other questions? If not, any motion would be in order?
So moved.
All right, any second?
Second.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, it's carried. Well, this is the conclusion of our meeting today. Thank you very much for coming to this meeting, and we'll see you again. Maisha, could you remind me, do you know when is our next meeting? It's in the book.
I'll just say I've been to 4 committee meetings on their budget, and there's one that got sent to the back to the conference office because they were so far out of balance that the committee couldn't approve it. That's in our union. And so for you guys to be budgeting on 98%, not having to rely on reserves and trust that may not ever mature. It's you're doing well. So yeah. Praise the Lord for you.
So we'll finalize this this meeting for tonight. And Pastor Enoch, it's great seeing you tonight. Why don't you close with a word of prayer?
Sure, that's fire hits.
May 19th.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we are here. And we are here to be used by your Holy Spirit. Whether it may be the funds, whether it may be our talents, it is all yours. So Lord, bless these people, bless the conference, so that we may be a great stewards for you. Be with us as we travel back to our homes. Help us to serve you better. In the name of Jesus we pray.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Have a great night. And we'll see you May 19th.
Really?
You know.